At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Vanderbilt does it again. But hey, they were favored, right? They were the favored team coming into this game. And Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, I'll get to the defense as usual. Make sure if you're not subbed, we're almost to 200,000. Let's go ahead and get this thing rocking and rolling. I know there's a lot of pissed off LSU fans that are watching this, and probably a lot of Alabama and LSU rival fans that are watching this with a smile on their face. But David Cone, his team also won today, Michigan with a nice win over Washington. And Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. And guys, look, you don't have to be a genius or a scientist to figure out what happened in this game. It went exactly how Vandy draws it up to go. When you look at time of possession, when you look at play calling, when you look at what Diego Pavia can do through the air and on the ground, they only asked him to throw the ball 22 times. He was 14 to 22 for a 160 and a touchdown. Runs it 17 times for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I can understand some people, David, I'll start with you, talking a little bit about the Heisman for Diego Pavia. But once again, Vanderbilt makes you play their style of ball. And once again, the run game for LSU totally dissipates. But this time the defense got run over a little bit.
Man, what a win. And I know there's so many different players to talk about, but Diego Pavia is a football player, man. I mean, he was born to play this game. He was born to play this position. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can have success playing quarterback. The way I had success was a lot different than this kid, but the way he escapes the pocket everywhere. I mean, I'm writing down notes. He's escaping the pocket up the middle. He's escaping the pocket on the perimeter. Whatever they need him to do, he does. Now, I don't know about the Heisman Trophy, Jake. Maybe he's going to be in that conversation, but Vanderbilt and the college football playoff is all my mind could go to, because now you have a win over LSU and you're going to play Missouri, Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Like, there is 100% a path there.
Yeah, and you still have that one game cushion, Blaine. You know, 10-2 is the mark if you're in the SEC or the Big Ten. And I know, obviously, you know, what you've said about Diego, and you're right, he's one of the biggest threats to world peace that there is out there, and he continues to show us why. But if you're LSU, I mean, man, it's the same thing. But this time, and sometimes it happens, the defense wasn't able to play at the level that they've been playing, and you got to tip your cap to Vandy. But if you're an LSU fan right now, I mean, how are you feeling? What are you feeling? And what is Brian Kelly going to do?
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, you're running into the kind of the same thing when they see a Penn State and James Franklin. Trust me, after the James Franklin fire, if you're Brian Kelly, you're probably not feeling great, because at the end of the day, they keep saying the same thing about Brian Kelly. No matter where he is, he can't win the big one. It's just so weird in college football after what we saw happen Friday. It's just, you can't trust what you see week in, week out. Yeah. Look, and I said this the week before in this matchup, with a real Nussmeier, please stand up. And I feel like he did. Yeah. I feel like Nuss came in and had a good game. I mean, he was just taking hits every single play. The LSU offensive line did not do a good job, and he made some big-time throws. But the one thing we could trust about LSU this year was what? Blake Baker and this defense, right? And my big key and my big note was the battle between Diego Pavia and Harold Perkins and the weeks at the linebacker position, with not falling for the eye candy, really going and trusting what you see, and Diego Pavia killed the linebacking core at LSU. So right now, I mean, if you're an LSU fan, are you looking for your next head coach?
Look, we've talked with Matt Moscona about the buyout. Now, I will say Whit Weeks was out this game. His brother was playing. And whenever you have the side-to-side action that we always talk about with Vanderbilt, it is a battle of the eyes, because the feet follow the eyes, and it's a race to a spot. And Vandy, again, they keep you off balance. They're able to – and look, this Vanderbilt team's athletic, Cone. Like it's not like they need an extra step and a half to be able to hurt you. But what they do offensively slows down your team speed so much, and it turns it into truly a one-on-one game. Then on the other side, I mean, Blaine, to your point, I thought Nussmeier, who's hurt, you can tell, but it feels like he's been hurt now for, what, 7-8 weeks as we've gone into this thing. He was able to get away from some things. I thought, you know, on that last third down and long, he made a great play. The guy's got to catch that ball to be able to escape and get that off. So I don't think it's all on Nuss. You'd be crazy to say that. But I think the biggest thing I have taken away from the Brian Kelly tenure at LSU is they can't get the offensive line right. They just can't do it. I mean, the pass pro today wasn't great. It's been better in the past. But as far as a run game, we saw Will Campbell and these guys last year talk about how much of a road grading group they're going to have. And then this year you got all this talent and this, that, or the other. It may be young at some spots. But the biggest bugaboo now for LSU, and it used to be the defense, is they can't get this offensive line right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up Wes Weeks. Wes Weeks actually did make some key plays in this game, but my mind immediately goes to identity. Vanderbilt has an identity. They know who they are. They're true to that identity. And on top of that, they play with a confidence. LSU, to me, they don't have an identity right now, and you're still somehow 5-2, you know, and still in this thing. But, you know, 240 yards on the ground for Vanderbilt. Yeah. I mean, that is truly incredible and unacceptable if you're that LSU defense. I don't care who's out for you. And I think it was you, Jake, this week in our preview that was talking about how critical the tight ends would be in this game for both teams. Man, were they. I mean, and it's not just Stowers for Vanderbilt. I mean, the backup or the second tight end, Spence, had a huge game, some crucial plays. And that's just how Vanderbilt hurt you with all that side-to-side action, all the eye candy in the run game, and then play action to the tight ends is just, it really gets to a point of unstoppable when Diego Pavia can escape the way he can and break down those rush lanes for LSU the way he did.
No, without a doubt. And Blaine, you know, to the point about diversifying the portfolio through the air, if you look at LSU, Xavien Thomas got 3 catches. You know, Tre'Davious Green, the tight end, who's an NFL player, got 5. Berrien Brown got 5. Aaron Anderson got 1 touch. You know, there were some big plays in that game. I mean, Zero made a big play. But I tell you, to me, where it felt like this game, I wouldn't say turn, but you really had to start feeling good if you were a Vanderbilt fan, was when LSU got the touchdown called back. I can't remember if it was a legal formation or a legal motion that backed him up. And then Garrett almost had one of his patented red zone turnovers. He got away with it on third down. But that's where you kind of feel like this game really swung into Vanderbilt's favor, because Vandy is – they're like an anaconda. They're not going to kill you instantly most of the time. They're going to squeeze you through the whole game. And once again, going back to time of possession, that's what we got. And there were no turnovers by Diego Pavia in the red zone. Yeah. This is just such a Vanderbilt, Clark Lee style of win. And when they make you play their pace, they're going to win most of the time.
Well, that's a name that's going to get mentioned a lot these next couple of days, is Clark Lee. You remember where James Franklin came from, and that was Vanderbilt. And Clark Lee has a way of beating teams they're not supposed to beat. But the thing about Vanderbilt is they never really beat themselves. That's why it was so weird watching that Alabama game and what Diego Pavia did in the red zone with those turnovers. And LSU, in key moments in this game, had penalties, the false start on the touchdown. And especially most of those penalties were where? In the red zones. And you're going to beat a Vanderbilt team. You get into the red zone, you can't get 3. You have to get 7. So just a note, look, I mean, if you're Vanderbilt, no turnovers and 4 penalties, you control the time of possession, 36 minutes to 23. That has, like, when you put all those ingredients together, you know what comes out? The Vanderbilt football team.
Yeah, hey, and go ahead.
One point, because you brought up that false start at the goal line. Remember, I was thinking this whole game, like, okay, once again, LSU is struggling to run the football. That goes back to a question of identity. And then Caden Durham takes off for that huge play, 40, 50 yards, whatever it was, gets caught, though, at the 5, doesn't finish that run, and LSU does score on that route to the flat, gets called back for the false start that you're talking about. So even in that series there, where you have a long run and you're finally able to break through, the penalty brings you back, and they end up not scoring on that drive.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because you do hit that big run, then you go down there. I believe they ran it on first down and didn't get it. And then you're like, well, we have to abandon the run, right? Because we can't do it. And it was, here's the thing. Without the penalty, it's a great play call. I mean, it was there. It was wide open. I think it was Aaron Anderson, I believe, had him out leveraged. They just didn't do the little things right. And when you get closer to the goal line, those little things, while they're always big, they become so much bigger, especially when it has goal at the end of the down and distance, because there is no first down. There is no way to get out of that except a touchdown or a penalty that would lead to a first down. Now, before we wrap up here, and again, we have a bunch of live reactions coming today, so make sure you're locked into Crane & Company, you're subbed and all that. But you brought up the Vanderbilt schedule and the rest of that. Well, if you're LSU now, 9-3 is not getting you in. I can go ahead and tell you. And that's one thing you can, you know, be pissed off at Clemson for being as bad as they've been, because that's totally erased your chances of getting in at 9-3. So now you get A&M at home, you go to Bama, you get Arkansas at home, Western Kentucky at home, and at Oklahoma. You're not making the playoff. I don't see it right now, David.
Yeah, no, and this is what preseason I said, that I think the LSU-Oklahoma game was going to come down to a matchup of 2-9-2 teams, where one of those teams was going to be playing to get into the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, John Mateer, we're going to analyze what they were able to do today at South Carolina. But yeah, and it's happened in a very different way, because the defense has been good for LSU. The offense has really struggled. Gets back to a little bit of that question about identity. But when you have Joe Burrow throwing the football to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, it's fine to throw the football to set up the run. When you have Jaden Daniels, who also was lethal in the run game himself, throwing the football to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., it's fine to throw the football to set up the run. They're just not able to do that with this edition of this team. And I said the defense would travel and keep them in every game. That did happen today. They're in this football game. But again, when you got weeks out and you're playing a team that's just so confident like Vanderbilt is, you can forget about that brand bias against Vanderbilt across the country, because the guys they brought in don't know that they're supposed to be bad at Vanderbilt.
No, without a doubt. The mindset and the narrative has totally changed, and that's kudos to the staff and the players. Blaine, anything else you want to add as Vanderbilt takes down LSU 31-24?
Just make sure when you say Vanderbilt's name, you put some respect on it.
That's exactly right. I'm just in real time watching Lenore Sellers break 9 tackles. It's just insane. But yeah, make sure you guys are locked into Crane & Company. We got a lot more live reactions coming today. And like the chances of me not being ready to run out here and go watch the rest of this slate, we're going, gone.